Morning again. I was trying to figure out where it was and that Paul said, "Hey, Ray." But I was happy to see Ray back there. I was scratching. I don't remember that in the New Testament, but Paul does talk a lot. So we're going to spend a lot of time in verses that Paul shares with us today about baptism. So it is great to see you, Ray. So, and since I'm up here and so I don't forget, Mike Johnson says hello. So I just saw him a couple weekends ago. And so, long story, but Ray made a huge impact in Mike Johnson's life, and he has not forgotten that. So he said, "If you see Ray, tell him hello." I said, "Well, I think Steve mentioned he might be coming around here in the next few weeks." So, all right, so we are going to talk this morning about baptism and what that means. And there's an outline in the back of the back of the bulletin. This is going to be a short, especially for me, a short lesson. Baptism has a lot of significance, and it's exciting to have Caleb, Ted, and Thomas be going through that this afternoon. And really, as you talk about baptism, this is something I think could pretty easily be expanded into a several week multi-series or series, because there's a lot that the Bible has to say about baptism and a lot of verses that go around that. So today we're just going to hit some of the key highlights. And as Steve mentioned earlier, you know, what does the word baptism mean? And you know, it comes from a Greek root word called baptizo that means identification. And baptism is identification with what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. So we're going to talk in a lot more detail about that. But you know, in Firm Foundations, we talk a fair amount about that. And we're going to go to some other verses this morning. And we're going to look at some of the distinctions about that identification. And so let's just jump straight into it. We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 21. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 21 say, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Baptism is a symbolic expression of our heart's appeal to God, a calling out to God, if you will, an identification with what Jesus did for us on the cross. Through baptism, we are identifying with Jesus' cross. With Jesus' death. So the righteous, Jesus, dying for the unrighteous, us. And it's that identification. And there's a quote in there by a guy named John Piper. And that's how he puts it. "It is a way of saying to God with our whole body, I trust you to take me into Christ, like Noah was taken into the ark, and to make Jesus the substitute for my sins, and to bring me through these waters of death and judgment into new and everlasting life through the resurrection of Jesus my Lord." Baptism is powerful, and we're going to talk in more detail about that. I'm going to talk about some things that baptism is not. But I really like the phrasing here that baptism is an appeal to God for a good conscience. It is our identification with the message of Jesus Christ. Identification that salvation is not through our own efforts. And that's something that people get confused about a lot, that baptism is a part of being saved, that it's one of the steps to salvation. That would make it a work. It'd be something that we can do. Baptism, as it shows our understanding, when we do it right, that we are incapable of being accepted by God on our own. So we're incapable of meeting God's standard. Identification with God's message that we do not save ourselves. An identification that we understand that God saves us through the work of Jesus Christ, who suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. You know, the Lamb of God who came to pay the final penalty, that died as a sacrifice for all of our sins, once for all, the Bible tells us. Not something that has to be repeated over and over again. So, we receive salvation through calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by trusting in Him by faith. And that is really the description. That's what baptism is in a nutshell there. Now we're going to talk a little bit about what baptism portrays. So, and to do that, we're going to go to Romans. We're going to start in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, and we'll go through chapter 6, verse 4. And then you just keep your finger or put a bookmark in here, because we're going to keep coming back to these verses as we go through our discussions. Okay, Romans chapter 5, starting with verse 20. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And honestly, these are, like in a lot of Romans, on a first blush, you can read through all these things and it sometimes is difficult to understand, but there's a lot of important things in these verses. And we're just going to hit on two of the key things. But baptism is highly symbolic of our relationship with Jesus Christ, what we hold with Christ when we receive His free gift of eternal life. And these passages point to the beauty and the significance of the ceremony that we do as part of a baptism. And so what we're going to see as we look at these verses, that when you go through a baptism, really we're getting a picture of your relationship with Jesus Christ once you become a Christian, once you put your faith in Him. So it's interesting, you know, a lot of people, you know, you usually go through baptism. Our encouragement as a church is for somebody to go through baptism soon after they become a believer in Christ. And what that generally means is that somebody who doesn't have a lot of knowledge, not a book theology, that hasn't spent a lot of time in the church necessarily, somebody that doesn't know a lot about God, but they know enough that they've put their faith in Him. And so sometimes, you know, we recognize that baptism is a, you know, Jesus calls us to be baptized as part of our, as part of a formal recognition before people, like a public proclamation of our renewed life, of our relationship with Him. And so sometimes people think when they start to learn more about baptism, there can kind of be a feeling on occasion, so they say, well, you know what, I think I need to be baptized again because I didn't really understand all that. And that is certainly not the intent, because every day when you are spending time in your quiet time, when you're spending time with God, when you're in a Bible study, when you're in the world, when in the Word, you should be learning more about God. And so God doesn't call us to renew that baptism. We don't have to get saved all over again. But as we continue to grow, it just makes it more powerful, the impact of what baptism symbolizes. So even as a new believer, maybe our knowledge is not deep of the things of God, but it's not something we have to go back and redo. So it's something that we do, once again, in simple obedience to Jesus, and as we learn more about what it is. So we're going to highlight two of the key things that baptism portrays according to the verses that we have here. The first is that baptism portrays our death in the death of Jesus Christ. So verses 3 and 4 of chapter 6 says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death." So here's a great truth about us Christians. We have died, and when Christ died, He died our death. Because we all owed God a sin debt. We all owed God a debt. And so when Jesus died, these verses tell us that Jesus died on our behalf, and we died with Him through His death. So this means two things. When we die, in this context, we die, the old nature in us dies. So the old man, the sinful man, is now dead. So we've put aside our past life, the things of our old nature. Our old self has changed. We are not the same. And the next thing that this is significant of is that means our future death. We will all still die a physical death. But now, that future physical death doesn't have the same weight. It doesn't have the same bearing anymore. Because of our relationship with Jesus Christ now, that future death only leads to an eternity in heaven with Jesus. And so that future death has gone away. And in 1 Corinthians, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55 says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? You know, without Jesus Christ, Satan wins a huge victory when someone dies because that person is now separated for eternity from God. When we go through, when we have our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, now that victory that Satan is looking for and hoping for is gone. So now we have victory through Christ. And so that death has no sting, and that relationship has been repaired. So it's been swallowed up by Christ. Another interesting thing is if you look at in verses 3 and 4 of chapter 6 there, you see the word into, and it says baptized into Christ Jesus and baptized into His death. And then in verse 4 it says, and baptism into death. So what they're saying is that baptism portrays our union with Christ. That is, we are united to Him spiritually so that His death becomes our death and His life becomes our life. And so the question then becomes, well, how do we experience that? And how do we know if that has happened to you? And the answer is that it is experienced by faith. And so, you know, that goes back to the discussion about that it's not a thing of, that baptism is not a work, not a part of how we earn salvation, because then that brings it back full circle. It brings it back to something that we can do. It is an experience by faith, and we can hear that if we go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Certainly a verse that we talk about here a lot. So Galatians 2:20 makes the connection for us with faith. And it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. In other words, the I who died was the unbelieving, old, rebellious I, and the I who came alive is the I of faith. The I who said, I believe in You, Jesus Christ, for my salvation. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. That's how we live that life as a result of His death. And so, and the basis for all this is union with Christ. Christ lives in me, and we live in Him, in spiritual union with Him. His death is our death, and His life is being lived out in our lives. And so, if we go back a few verses in Colossians chapter 2, let's read chapter or verse 6 and the first part of verse 7. So, Colossians 2, 6 and 7. It says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught. So here again we see that faith in Jesus Christ is the way we experience union with Christ. You receive Him as your Lord and Savior, and in that faith you are united to Him and walk in Him and are built up in Him. All these things only possible through our relationship in Jesus Christ and our reliance upon Him as our Savior. So when Romans chapter 6, 3-4 says that we are baptized into Christ and into His death, I take that to mean that baptism expresses the faith in which we experience union with Christ. So this is why God designed the mode, I think, why God designed the mode of baptism to be, to portray a burial. So it represents the death that we experience when we are united with Christ. So when we are immersed in water, it is as being buried, experiencing that death with Christ, and then when we rise back up again, it talks about that life. So know that as a believer, you have died. The old nature has gone away. You have died a death as a result of Jesus dying in your place. The old, unbelieving, rebellious I has been crucified with Christ. That is what your baptism meant and still means. So that first part then, baptism portrays our death with the death of Christ. The second, and we've talked about it several times in these verses, is that baptism portrays our newness of life in Christ. In Romans 6 verse 4, it says, we were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We don't keep people under the water of baptism, so we immerse them and we bring them right back out, and that's symbolic of the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. So you're down, the old nature is gone, you're back up, and you are alive with Christ. After death comes new life. The old I of unbelief and rebellion has died, and we are united with Christ through faith. The instant the old I has died, the new I has given life. A new spiritual person was raised from the dead. And a new life is possible now through Jesus Christ. We have a power and an ability to live our lives that we did not have before. And baptism is representative of that. When we come out of that water, it's representative of that new life. And then back to Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. It says, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. So notice, we are raised up with Christ. Just like in Romans 6, 4, it says we walk in newness of life. We are raised up with Christ as new creations. And this verse tells us that it was the powerful working of God who raised Jesus from the dead, just like Romans 6, 4 says that Christ was raised through the glory of the Father. So we too are raised with Jesus through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Jesus from the dead. So Colossians 2:12 makes very specific what Romans 6:4 implies, and that is that baptism expresses our faith in the working of God to raise Jesus from the dead. We believe that Jesus Christ is alive, that He is risen from the grave, and He is reigning today at the Father's right hand in heaven, from which He will come again in power and glory. And that faith in God's working, God's glory as Paul calls it, is how we share in the newness of life that Christ has in Himself. In fact, the newness of life is the life of faith in the glory and the working of God. I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So the newness of life that we experience in our relationship with God is the life of day by day trusting in God, in the working of God, in the glory of God. And so that baptism portrays what happened to us when we become Christians. So to summarize it, that when we became Christians, we were united with Christ. His death became our death. We died with Him, and that's symbolic of the immersion in the water. And then third, His life became our life. In the instant of our death, then we are born again as new creations, as new beings. And so when we come out of the water of baptism, it's symbolic of that new life, that rebirth. And all of this is experienced through faith. So it's, you know, that being the most critical and important part, that it's through that faith, it's through our relationship with Jesus Christ and our reliance upon Him and His free gift of salvation. So that's what it means to be a Christian, to live in the reality of what our baptism portrays day by day, that we are looking to God for our salvation, that we are looking to God and His power and His strength to live our lives, and that we reckon it true by faith so that we can live new lives that were not available to us before. But through the power of Jesus Christ now, we are reborn as new creations. And so that is a nutshell, I think, the two most important things that come out of those verses and the two key critical components of baptism. And I'm just going to hit on a couple things here really quickly on what baptism isn't, because there's a lot of confusion, I think, a lot of discussion, and we're not going to spend a whole lot of time here. And like I said, all of this really, with the amount of material that's out there, this could easily have gone into a lot longer, maybe even several different lessons. And so just a couple things on what baptism isn't. And I mentioned earlier, you know, baptism is not part of the salvation process. And it's interesting, if you look at the wording of, if we go back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, the first verses that we read, it says, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A lot of people take that verse, and there's a few others, and they say that baptism, therefore, is a requirement for salvation. So that it's like the next step, and it's your salvation is not complete until you've been baptized. And once again, this is one of the things where you have to look at the entirety of Scripture. And so when we have a question about what a verse says, we have to look at the entirety of Scripture. So the verse may take things or say something that's not really referring to. And so there's another verse that sometimes people look at. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Okay, Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, "And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" See, Peter at this point has been, he's preaching a sermon at Pentecost, and he's really laying it to the people of Israel. You know, Jesus has just been crucified, and he is telling them, it was you who put Jesus on the cross, and he is powerfully delivering a message. And he's telling them, you have to put your faith in Jesus Christ. And so if you look at that verse out of context, and you tie that back to what we looked at in 1 Peter, there can be the misunderstanding that baptism is a portion of your salvation process. But in fact, that's not true. And what we can see is when we look at the entirety of Scripture, we see over and over, now we know that the thief that was on the cross next to Jesus Christ was not able to be baptized. But you know what he did do, because we talk about baptism is that outward identification or public identification with Jesus Christ's message. He, in front of all those people, said, you know, how dare you say that to the other thief, you know, that the Christ is, you know, you're on the cross with the Christ. And so he made a public recognition of his belief in who Jesus Christ was. And Jesus' response to him is that, "I tell you this day, you will be with me in paradise." So he didn't obviously have the opportunity to be baptized, yet we know clearly Jesus says, "This day you will be with me in paradise." So it's not a step into baptism. Let's go to Acts chapter 16, verses 30 through 34. And this jumps in, we're in the middle of, as we read these verses, this is Paul and Silas are in jail. And there's an earthquake, and the prison doors are opened, and the jailer comes running in. He's concerned. He's afraid that his prisoners have escaped, and you know he's probably going to be dead as a result. And so, starting with verse 30, we'll go through 34. And it says, "And then he brought them out, and he said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.' And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God." So he believed. That was their answer back to him. You must believe in Jesus Christ. And he was immediately saved. And then he was baptized as a result of that salvation, as an act of obedience. And then that last part, just once again, "And he rejoiced with his entire household that he had believed in God." So it is belief and faith in Jesus Christ that is the sole act of salvation. And baptism, therefore, is just a follow-on that we do, an outward representation of what has happened to us inside. The second verse is... the second piece of this is that what baptism isn't, it's a work on our part. And we talked about that briefly as we went through. You know, if baptism were a part of our salvation, then it's something that we would be doing, that we would be earning. And that's not our part. And I liken, and Steve talked about this just a couple weeks ago, talking about Jesus as the bread of life and his relationship with his disciples. You know, he's just fed this massive group of people. And so they are coming to him and they're saying, "Wow, you know, Jesus, we want you to be our king because you can feed us." And his point to the people then is that, I can feed you, but I'm the bread of life. I can give you an eternal food, something that won't just last for now. And the people didn't understand that. And so they come and then starting with verse 28 says, "And then they said to him, 'What must we do to be doing the works of God?' And Jesus answered them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent.'" So Jesus himself makes it very, very clear that our work is not to do something. Our work, our responsibility in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ is to believe in him whom he has sent. So to believe in Jesus. And then the last thing there, what baptism isn't, is it isn't something that can be done for someone else. Baptism is a personal decision made on the basis of a relationship with Jesus Christ that is repentance for sin, and then a turning to Jesus Christ. It can only be done as an individual. So, Jesus in the Bible, Jesus is not interested in religion. So when people talk about, oh, are you a religious person? I usually don't say anything unless we're in the right kind of conversation, because I think it would come across wrong. But I don't consider myself to be a religious person. I consider myself to be a person who has a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, and I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If that makes me religious in the eyes of the world, then so be it. But it's not a religion, it's a relationship. And so that can only happen one-on-one. You can't have a relationship with a group of people. I mean, you can have an affiliation, but you can't have a relationship with a group of people. I can have a relationship with Carlton, but not with a group. So does that make sense? It is a individual, personal decision that every single person makes. So it's not something that can be done for someone else, or that you can even force on someone else. And then kind of as a sub-bullet to that, it's not a decision that... You know, there's a lot of churches out there that believe in baptism of infants or the sprinkling of infants. And we're not going to go into great depth on this because it ends up being a very large theological question. The key thing is that there is nowhere in the Bible where there is a verse that says that infants are to be baptized. There are many verses that talk about believers and they're being baptized with their entire family. And so we could go... So we could chase this down a rabbit hole and go for a long time a discussion on what that means. But there's not somewhere in the Bible that indicates that a child needs to be baptized. And once again, when we look at the entirety of Scripture, we look at the fact that it's an individual relationship. Now, some churches, some organizations say at a certain age, somebody is eligible to be baptized. We don't put an age around that. What we do... when someone expresses an interest in being baptized, that we have a discussion with that person, whether they're 4 years old or 54 years old. The discussion relates to what is their relationship to Jesus Christ. Do they understand what the purpose of baptism is? Because we certainly don't want someone to come and be baptized and believe that by going through an act of being dipped and brought back out, that they are now saved, that they have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if in fact that is not true. So baptism is the public proclamation of a relationship, of a change that's happened, of that new birth, the death of the old man and the birth and life of the new life that we can live through Jesus Christ. So those are just a couple key highlights that come up frequently in discussions and questions about baptism. If anybody has any other questions or comments, that's all I have prepared for today. So I'm going to take this off now and give it to Paul so he can tell us about his upcoming move to Jordan. Thanks for the opportunity to share with you this morning. So, thank you.